Hi, I'm Tara Lynn of Geek Saga Entertainment, and welcome to Hot D Takes. This podcast series covers HBO's House of the Dragon episode by episode with myself, an avid reader of all things ASWAF, and my friend Manny, a Game of Thrones fan who is unsullied, aka has never read the books, being your stalwart hosts. So first things first, you can find me on Blue Sky, Facebook, Instagram, Threads, and YouTube at A Geek Saga.
And I'm Manny, the aforementioned Unsullied co-host, and you can find me on Facebook and Instagram at Benissimo Art. Thanks for joining us for this episode, which will cover House of the Dragon, Season 3, Episode 2, titled Queen's Landing.
As a reminder, expect spoilers from the episode we are covering, but less obvious, there will be very minimal book spoilers from Fire and Blood, only up to and including episodes of the show that have aired, by the way. And that is, of course, the source material for House of the Dragon. We'll start with an episode summary, then cover what we think are the main hot takes from the episode, and conclude with an episode-specific favorites roundup.
We also have a rating system that we will, like true Targaryens, fill in when and where we please. And that system includes rating things on a scale of 1 to 10 Targ eyebrows.
We did really good with that last week, honestly. I was proud of us. Just one last piece of business before we dig in. Don't forget that Geek Saga Entertainment has a Patreon. It offers tons of ways to support us and receive some great perks in return, including access to our Hot D Takes live streams for $5 and up a month patrons, or early access to our video recordings and podcast episodes for just $3 a month. Check it out at patreon.com/geeksaga_entertainment.
And now it's time for the long and the short of it, our weekly episode summary. It might have seemed that the Battle of the Gullet was over when last week's season premiere ended, but guess what? It was not. Turns out the Dragonseeds did swoop in and help save the day. Though as much as Baela claims the battle was won, the Dragonseeds' arrival was almost too little too late. And was the battle really won when Jason and Vermax and pretty much all of Rhaenyra's fleet was lost and Driftmark was sacked and burned? Semi-rhetorical questions aside, it is admittedly heart-wrenching to watch Rhaenyra break down over Jace's body, and that we later learn that she had locked herself in her chambers and gone nearly catatonic in the wake of his death. But this war doesn't stop for anyone, not even a crown prince. And so we move on to the others who are in a spot of trouble, namely Rhaena, who, in the wake of her big mistake, big, huge, begs help from Lady Jane Arryn. I mean, Rhaena has, after all, brought the promised dragon to the Vale, but Lady Arryn wants nothing to do with Rhaena's drama, so the girl and her dragon can stay, but out of sight. Not sure how easy that will be for a giant dragon that is, as far as we know, can't really be controlled, but I guess we'll see how that turns out later. Because while it at first seems that Littlefooter and Babygon are also facing some issues in the form of Triarchy pirates attacking the men who hold them captive, that actually turns out kind of well for them in the end, as they're able to escape both their captors and the pirates and will apparently now make their way to Rook's Rest despite Littlefooter's whining about taking such a arduous journey. Daemon, on the other hand, is doing quite well, partying with his bros in the wake of a successful fish feed, I mean battle, and even receiving congratulatory gifts from Sir Simon Strong. Unfortunately, these gifts also come with the news from Dragonstone of Jace's death. Though this also means Daemon finally gets to fly off to King's Landing for the Queen, and he's clearly going to take that good with the bad. Not before pissing off Alice Rivers, though, because for some reason, everyone wants fucking Harrenhal. I will hold my comments till it's my turn. And Alice is just the latest in that group of people lining up wanting to claim it. Not that Daemon can give her such a reward and she's not at all happy to hear as much, even making it a point to remind him that he better not ever return to Harrenhal, portents and prophecies and such. Oh my.
Meanwhile, the Valyrians are working together in their search for Corlys, who they find alive, by the way, and who finally offers up his name to his bastard son, since, you know, he doesn't really have anything else left to give them. For goodness, it's all very sweet stuff that we are very much here for. Not so sweet, though. Daemon's return to Dragonstone, where he first mocks the Dragonseeds and then Mazaria before finally doing something less assholish and climbing into bed with his distraught wife and queen to tell her about his visions of Daenerys and that Vhagar has left King's Landing and it's time for them to make their big move into the Red Keep to put Rhaenyra on the throne. And while all of that is happening, Allison is in fact sweeping around King's Landing, doing her bestest to make things right for her rival, including visiting the City Watch locker room to inform their commander of what he should do, and dragging Helena to the battlements to convince the soldiers there that no, they shouldn't just shoot down any dragon they see. All before she and Helena put on their oh-so-versatile hooded cloaks and try to sneak out of the city. Someone who isn't being sneaky, though, is Aemond, who quite literally blasts his way into Harrenhal on Vhagar and then murders Simon Strong and sons rather than accepting an invitation to supper. But unfortunately, it's doubtful that Aemond's time at this cursed castle will simply be short and bloody because one of the Strong boys stabbed him but good, and we leave him crawling across the floor begging Alice Rivers, of all people, for help. Season 2 of Luigi's Mansion coming soon to a castle near you, mayhap? While Manny grumbles about that possibility, at least we know that our queen, with Daemon by her side, has in fact taken King's Landing, the Red Keep, and the Iron Throne. Granted, this wasn't without a few mishaps, including Rhaenyra's nearly botched beheading of good ol' Otto, and the captured Allison and Helena being delivered to the throne room in the immediate aftermath of said beheading, leading to one hell of an interesting shared look between Rhaenyra and her old friend slash rival. What will that look portend? Hopefully we'll find out soon enough, but until we do, let's take a look at Maester Manny's predictions for this week, which were, first of all, Corlys is alive. Manny, you were correct.
Yes.
Oh my
finally.
God, it was so hard last week when you said that, and I was like, oh, really? Trying not to... say anything or reveal anything. And even last night when we were watching the episode, Dean was like, didn't he die? Like, he fell off into the water. Did he have armor on? And I'm just sitting there like, oh,
but there's one thing the writers have done in this series, and I say it, if you don't see a body, they didn't die. Simple as that, dude. You know, I mean, shit, even fucking Daemon crawled out with half of the fucking body of the crab feeder, right? So you knew that fucker was dead.
Yeah.
Corlys went in there. Corlys has way too much screen presence. He's way too much of a great character. And I'm like, if they were going to really kill him, they would have made it way more spectacular than just throwing him off a boat.
Yeah.
And that's where I kind of got the writer's like number now, where I'm like, oh, okay, nah.
Now that you've said that, though.
Now they're gonna, because they clearly they watched this, right? Because they just knew, so they're like, oh well, fucking now we're gonna fuck with them now, and now we're gonna just kill someone off at random. Like, they'll just slip down the stairs and you won't see their body, you know, and they're dead.
I will say, maybe we were not so much, I think both of us had this sort of, it was your official prediction, but both of us kind of talked about it a bit last week. We were not so much correct about this episode being slower.
Yes.
There wasn't a big battle, like, granted, but I don't know. I think we both really thought this one would have like not so much happening, and it definitely was not that, in my opinion.
No, I did not expect that. And one day when I grew up and become a real maester, I would have been able to say, yeah, Rhaenyra is going to take the throne. But nope, I did not expect that. I just expected a ton of exposition and nothing actually moving forward. But I was completely wrong, because everything moved forward in this episode.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, and to be fair, the fact that originally I hadn't even really thought about this, but the fact that season 2 was only 8 episodes, and I guess kind of the original plan was for it to be 10, last week would have been an episode 9, and this week would have been a season finale. And honestly, that feels so much more legit, I think, than what we got for season 2. But loving, I think we're both loving it so far. And I, again, we talked about this last week, but we would have been totally fine with this week being a little bit slower and just kind of things would happen, you know. Rhaenyra would probably know that Jace was dead and stuff like that. But my God, I mean, we got from point A to point Z, them going to King's Landing and everything, and even Aemond arriving at Harrenhal. So it was certainly a lot. Anyway, all of that said, I think it's time for us to move into our hot takes with hot take number 1. And now it's time for Drinking Songs with Daemon, the part of the show where Daemon comes out and sings a drinking song. Our curtain opens as Daemon, having just finished kicking some Lannister ass, is celebrating with his men. If you do not know that reference, please just go look up Silly Songs with Larry from VeggieTales. That is all. I loved this scene so much. And I wanted to start our hot takes off with something a little more uplifting. We have some other things that we're going to get into that aren't so much, but my God, I loved so much how Damon seems to be a man of the people in this scene. The fish feed song was fucking great. Like, it made me want to drink. Honestly, it made me want to just have a cup of ale in my hand and be like, ah, fish feed.
Yeah.
Also, holla at Oscar Tully looking so much more grown up. I mean, he's still a little boy, but he looks so much more grown up than he did in season two. I mean, it's been 2 years, so, you know. Plus, we got some Black Alley action. I cannot wait to hopefully see more of her this season. Love her so much. Hell yeah. I just love this scene. It had to be a hot take because as kind of brief as the happiness of it was, I was like, nope, I love this. This is exactly what I am watching these shows for. It felt very Dunkin' Egg, very None of the Seven
Yes.
Kingdoms.
Yes,
very
it did.
None of the Seven Kingdoms. Which is probably what I liked about it so much.
Yeah, it definitely had that vibe to it. I watched that scene and I was like, finally, some good fucking fish and booze. Mm-hmm. We can just fucking relax for a fucking minute, but just for a moment.
Yeah, but still, worth it, worth it. I loved it. I loved it. I really don't have anything else to say about that because I don't want to say anything, honestly, because like knowing other things about what comes next, but I loved the song. I loved seeing Damon, especially the way he acted later with the dragon scenes. Damon with his bros, totally chill out in the field. Damon at court, fucking asshole.
Yep.
So I liked this moment anyway.
Which brings us to hot take number two. From anguish to action, or Rhaenyra going from a visceral and heart-wrenching reaction to Jace's death to finally taking to the skies on Syrex to take King's Landing with Damon and the dragon seeds at her side. Yep, we're jumping a bit ahead on this part with the hot take, but that's mainly because Rhaenyra's behavior in the wake of Jace's death and his body being returned to her is fucking awful to watch. But then later, what pulls out of her grief, at least somewhat, is her finally putting her foot down about how now that Vhagar and Aemon have vacated King's Landing, she is going there and no one will stop her.
That scene when Jace arrives back was just...
It was heart-wrenching.
You see her, it's like the five stages of grief, or mm-hmm. maybe the first like three stages. Like I can't remember off the top of my head what they are, but denial for sure. Acceptance is definitely not one of them mm-hmm. yet. But I really think that Emma D'Arcy did a great job with that.
Oh God, yeah, so good.
The first time I watched it, I didn't really think about the kind of physical reaction she was having, like the way she was moving her hands and stuff. The second time I watched it, I wasn't sure if I liked it, but the third time I watched it, I was like, no, I'm here for this. I think it had to be like that, right? It had to be angry because of what he did to her mm-hmm. to get to where he is or isn't now. But yeah, I think she did a really, really good job with it. You felt it. You felt her just despair about it.
Because she was fucking pissed, you know, about mm-hmm. what he did. But then at the same time, she's completely fucking heartbroken. And it's just kind of coming out more as like a mom reprimanding their child than anything else. You know, it was fucking heartbreaking. And gosh, what a fantastic actor, dude. Really brought it home for me on that one. And I felt so terrible because we love our fucking queen. And to see the queen just fucking distraught and broken up like that, it fucking broke my heart, man.
Yeah, yeah. And at the same time, though, you know, like you said, it finally made her put her fucking foot down about going to King's Landing. Fucking finally. Bam. Yeah. I'm doing it. Fuck you guys. I'm not taking your counsel anymore. I'm doing what I want to do. Damon is backing her as well. But Rhaenyra is only going there with him and Ulf and Hugh. But hey, listen, four dragons for a city that at this point, the only dragon rider in that city is Helaena, who they know isn't mm-hmm. going, you know, they're like, there's no way Helaena is going to come out and fight us by herself. And of course, they've got Alicent's quote unquote promises, which they don't know for sure will come to fruition. But Rhaenyra is pretty sure they will. And in the mm-hmm. end, she's right. Let's be real. Which honestly is the opposite of what happens in the book. In the book, Alicent does not help Rhaenyra. Alicent does not go to the gold cloaks and say, stand down. She does not tell the household guards or whomever. She doesn't tell anybody to stand down. She's the opposite. So maybe that is part of what Martin was kind of complaining about them mm-hmm. doing things too differently, but also with the relationship that the show fostered between Rhaenyra and Alicent early on, this does make more sense. in the showverse, at least. Book readers don't hate on me, but I think that there's a lot more nuance to what they are doing here than what we were given in the book, which was just Alicent stomping around like, hold the walls, blah, blah, blah. I like this better. I'm sorry, not sorry. I just do.
Yeah. And also, I think the one thing that I felt like everyone else was kind of missing, where I think that Rhaenyra was like good with, is like time is of the essence on this. Mm-hmm. You know, you really can't dilly dally right now, because there's no telling when 45-year-old Aemon with fucking Vhagar is going to fucking come back. You can't risk that. You guys need to get your ass in gear. Like, it sucks that Jace died. And obviously she was, you know, mourning that, but was like, well, time to fucking go. But then also your kid died also. This is one of those situations where I'm like, you know what? I may burn an outskirt or two on this one. You know, I won't destroy the city like Khaleesi did, but yeah, I may just burn some outskirts somewhere.
I feel like Rhaenyra is still, even despite what happened to Jace, that was the Triarchy. That was the Lannisters, right? We don't see it on screen, but you have to assume that at some point Daemon probably tells her like, hey, by the way, we fucked up a lot of Lannisters up there in the Riverlands. So yeah, we got some more burninating to do, but maybe not right now. But like, Rhaenyra wants to be, in the books she's referred to as the realm's delight. Everybody loves her. You know, she wants, she wants to be that person. She wants to be loved and respected. And I think she probably to an extent also needs that as a queen, because if they don't love and respect her, then it's going to be a real short road to her becoming hated. And then they're like, hey, but there's still some dudes in this line of succession, guys. Don't forget. So hot take number three, but Helaena chickens eat bugs. Although, as we say that, just to be clear, this hot take is a Helaena love song. Honestly, basically just yay, Helaena and her bugs. I want to say finally we get Helaena and bugs, but it is only the second episode. So I think it's more just the time frame of like, we waited 2 years for this. We waited 2 years to see Helaena playing with some bugs. But just, I don't know, how happy Helaena seems to be given a choice to maybe do what she actually wants to do, not be queen. And she just wants to raise some chickens.
Yeah, that's it.
I want to hope that this isn't just Alicent manipulating Helaena to get what she wants, which is this as bloodless as possible taking of King's Landing by Rhaenyra. And that is also Alicent seeing like, I never got to do what I wanted with my life. I was kind of shoehorned into this relationship with Viserys and shoehorned into pushing my son to be king. And I do think Alicent had some agency there. Don't get me wrong, but I think she does feel like she's been controlled by men for a lot of her life. And she came to terms with how badly so much of that has gone last season when she had her wet, hot Westerosi summer. And now she gets to say like, hey, maybe I can give my daughter something better, like something that she would actually want, a thing that I never really got to have. And then when Alicent takes Helaena to the King's Landing battlements, where they're preparing to strike down any dragon that approaches the city, and Helaena insists she will not have any beast harmed. I love Helaena so much in that moment, especially. I mean, everything else, Helaena was great. Actually was great in the last episode too, but like she was just so great in this episode. And I love how she stood there and she was like, I will not have any beast harmed. And then one of the guards or whatever soldiers says something else, and she's like, also, Rhaenyra's sons were always nice to me. And they were, they really were. I love that she spoke up a little bit too. Alicent didn't even necessarily prompt her.
Yeah, no, she's just the pearl before swine, dude. She doesn't belong in that universe. I love her, and I hope that she gets through this whole entire thing with at least not a terrible death.
Yeah, agreed. The show has done a really great job with Helaena, I think, in ways that the books kind of make her just this tragic figure, particularly after the thing that happened where Daemon in the show worked to have those assassins come and like attack her and kill her children and stuff. Fire and Blood makes her out to be just this like very tragic figure that has kind of nothing to do and nothing to say. I like that the show is giving her a little bit more agency and a lot more character, and she's just so lovely. She's lovely and perfect, and we love her. Like, we are Helaena stans on this podcast.
Yes, absolutely. Hot take number four, Harrenhal just can't catch a break, y'all. AKA, no sooner has Daemon left than Aemon shows up with Vhagar to do some more melty, melty, burny, burny, stabby, stabby at my not favorite place. Okay. Look, Harrenhal is just gross, okay? So Aemon should really stay here. Like, he doesn't need to leave anymore. He's there with Vhagar. Vhagar's gross too. Like, I like Vhagar because it's old, but it's an ugly dragon. And it's just like, Aemon, dude, that's where they belong, right? He should get himself some junk to put in the front yard of Harrenhal, some cars he's never going to work on, sit there and not have like an address to Harrenhal so people don't even know the mail person delivers the wrong mail all the time because they're like, oh, we don't fucking know. But anyway, I digress.
But we don't want to see him lingering at Harrenhal in your...
Oh, I would like... Yeah, no, we don't want to see it. You can do it like as a side comment or something like that.
Yeah,
or if you want to make some webisodes or some fan fiction of what happened there that I don't have to read and I don't have to watch and it doesn't interfere with the next 2-year gap before we get the next season, then totally fine. Yeah, leave him there forever. Matter of fact, don't even bring him up again. Just he stayed at Harrenhal and he retired and he's working at the Westeros Waffle House now, and that's what he's doing. That's what I would like to see.
I can't imagine Aemon just working at a Waffle House throwing chairs at people.
Yeah, throwing chairs at people, you know.
Throwing like chairs at the drunk assholes who can't control themselves.
Exactly. That's where he belongs. He drives like a Camaro that's beaten up and like rusted out and stuff like that. That's what he's doing. But of course, he has to show up and he kills Simon Strong, who is a nice guy, you know what I'm saying? But of course, he's going to fucking kill him because that's just fucking easy prey, man. He loves killing people that's just below his fucking pay grade, right? That's what he likes to do. Like, he's one of those people. You see him all the time in MMA, boxers, all these fucking people. They're just like, oh, I'm going to beat up this person who really doesn't stand a chance and it makes me look tough. Like, nah, not really, dude. Like, I would love to see you go. I'll put it to you this way. Okay. Who's this guy? Was it Jake Paul, right? So Jake Paul goes out and he gets these people to come back into boxing. They haven't boxed in 30 years. This guy is like 30 years, they're fucking minor. And he's like, oh, look at how tough I am. I beat up Mike Tyson and it's like, no. What I would want to see with this in particular is I want to see him go toe-to-toe with someone, Damon. And then let's see how long that lasts. Just like Jake Paul stepped into the ring with this other guy and got his jaw fucking broken. Yeah, see what happens when you actually fuck with somebody like who can really like fuck with you? Yeah. You deserved that shit. And that's what I want to see happen to Aemon. And personally, I want to see him go toe-to-toe with Damon and Damon just make a fucking fool of him.
It was very interesting seeing Damon just cut down all those Hightower guards that were approaching him in the Red Keep. These are actual guards who are there. They're trained. They're there to fight. They're there to defend. And Damon is actually slicing through them left and right. No problems. I'm not saying Aemon isn't a good fighter. We know he is. We know he trained. Like, we know he's good. But the dichotomy of seeing Damon fight these people who are actually coming at him and meaning and wanting to fight versus Aemon just cutting down these practically unarmed dudes, right? I mean, listen, I'm not shocked about Aemon just killing Simon Strong and his sons. That's a very Aemon thing to do. And it does happen a little differently in Fire and Blood. In the book, Simon Strong actually gets a sword and makes a sad attempt to fight Aemon. I don't know how like into it he is, but he gets cut down very easily. And then Aemon cuts down his sons as well. But it's close enough. Let's be real. Yeah. And I kind of liked how in the show they made Simon Strong just be like, no, man, like, let's just be buds. Like, just sit down and sup with us, dude.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it does make Aemon look like a lot more of an asshole that Simon Strong doesn't even have a sword, even though Aemon's like, grab a sword. Simon's like, ah, I'm good. But yeah, it is a very interesting dichotomy and interesting thought about Damon and Aemon. They're both out for each other. Let's be real. Yeah. The visions / dreams that Damon was having in Harrenhal last season really show that that's something that if it doesn't happen, it's going to be silly. I will say also, a friend pointed out how Alice Rivers kind of looks like Allison, and now I can't unsee it, especially with Aemon there, like, begging at her. They've got similar facial structure. I think my friend called her Goth Allison.
Goth Allison, that's a good one, yeah.
Now I can't unsee it, and I'm just like, oh no, we're gonna get so much Aemon and Allison, Allison Rivers. Freudian slip.
Yep.
Hot take number five. The City Watch remembers their commander, Daemon Targaryen. I mean, listen, this is a callback to season one. And just seriously LOL at the Kingsguard and the Hightower guards thinking that they can keep Rhaenyra from the throne and that the gold cloaks who show up are on their side when it was Daemon himself who gave the current City Watch commander, Ser Luther, his gold cloak. Sorry, not sorry, guys. You're fucked. I will say, like, side note, to be fair, Allison's foray into the Gold Cloak's locker room surely helped their decision at least a little bit. Also, that scene was hilarious. Whether it was meant to be or not, it was hilarious. Like, Allison, just the Dowager Queen, who is still fairly young, by the way. She's a Dowager Queen because she's the mother of the king, but she's still fairly young, very young, really. I mean, listen, she looks younger than her second son.
Yep.
Again, whether they meant it to be hilarious or not, it was. Just all these dudes like standing there, dicks out.
Yep.
And she's just like beelining for the commander. Here's what I have to tell you. Here's what's going on. Here's what I think you should do. In very strong, I'm kind of giving you an order almost. But that scene was great. No notes, honestly. I would give it, I don't know, 9 out of 10 Targ eyebrows at least.
I think that's fair. I think 9 out of 10 Targ eyebrows is fair.
Absolutely. I didn't want to see penises, honestly. I am not a prude by any means, but I also just don't, I don't want to say that.
You know, but it's
penises
like,
are ugly. One of my exes at one point, he was like, you could take the most gorgeous picture of a penis and frame it and put rose petals around it in the frame and it's still ugly. And I've never forgotten him saying that because he's right.
It's true. It's true. And I was a little disappointed with it because one thing that I always liked about these writers is like when they did like the whorehouses in season one, you remember? And like Rhaenyra was there and was like a kid, you know, or whatever. It was like there was nudity, but it wasn't like that. It was just like, okay. And that's what I've always loved about the writers is that they're really good at implying something without 100% showing something. And I love that because that's what makes my brain turn. So now I'm just like, well, all right, I guess dick's out, guys.
Well, but to be fair, Allison literally just, she walked into their locker room. There were no glances. She wasn't there to look at their dicks. She don't care. She's just like beelining for Ser Luther. Like, here's what's happening. They're all just kind of like mouths agape, and she does not even give a shit. She's just like, nope, I got things I got to say.
Yeah. And I'm sure there's no stalls out there in like Westeros or whatever the fuck, but I'm just one of those guys that just because I can do something doesn't mean I want to do something. I'm never going to be like the locker room guy who's like, yeah, I'm just walking around with my jock strap and hanging out with it. Like, I'm not going to do that. It's like the same reason that I fucking, like, I went to like a show one time and they had like a, it was like a urinal, but instead of a urinal, it was like a trough is what it was. And there was just a row of people like just pissing in it. And they're like, well, we can piss in it. I'm like, look, I understand that I can pee anywhere. It doesn't mean that I want to pee anywhere. Okay. Yeah. I'm not going to pee out in public out and like, you know, we're going to rock. I prefer to use a bathroom. I'm sorry. I am a gentleman of quality. And that's just how it is. Just because I can do does not mean that I want to. It was nice that they dropped their swords or they, I mean, obviously they were going to, right? Because Daemon gave them those gold cloaks. Knights are fucking loyal.
To be fair, I don't know that all of the gold cloaks or many of them even are knights. But that said,
well, correct. The one who has a name, yes, is
yeah, he is a knight. And
he is a knight. He's a true knight because he is loyal to the person who pretty much knighted them.
Yeah.
Except for Ser Cole garbage fucking douchebag dumpster face. You know, he's the only one. Fuck
him. Well, I mean, yeah, he is a knight, not a gold cloak. He's a Kingsguard, but yes, I do feel like the gold cloaks who aren't all knights being loyal versus the Kingsguard who are all knights not being loyal. There's something to be said there. There is something to be said there.
Yes, agreed. Hot take number six, good old Otto not getting ahead in life. Or in which Larry pays Daemon and Rhaenyra to receive a cameo, capital C, from an old friend.
Yeah, cameo. You know, like cameo. Those things you can buy.
Mm-hmm.
Those things you can buy from actors.
Yep.
They're like, happy birthday, so-and-so.
So like this scene it kind of sucked, right? Because, you know, I like the actor who plays Otto, and I like his character dynamic. Mm-hmm. And he really didn't get to have any of that there, right?
No, he really didn't.
I mean, he was really Otto for like one sentence where it was pretty much like, just let him do it because I don't want to get hacked a bunch of times, right? Like, that was classic Otto. And I was like,
he did talk some shit about like, oh, if your father could see this now, this bullshit. But it was so little from a character who was so big. Again, that goes back to the fact that this was supposed to be in season two. So it makes a lot more sense for him to have disappeared for a, you know, short amount of time, quote unquote, in season two. And we don't know where he is, like, where in the world is good. Yes. Hightower.
The way they kind of like teased it when they first showed him, I guess it was in season two, that he was in the back of the carriage. Like, I thought, okay, this is a build up to something, but it's a build up to just fucking lose your head, I guess.
Yep. Yep. I will say, like, Damon's little cackle when he realized who the gift was that Larry's left for him in the Black Cells. Like, as soon as he cackled, I was like, oh, it's Otto. It's absolutely fucking Otto. Like, I just knew before we even see the back of his head or anything like that. I knew. I loved it. I loved Damon's reaction. It was fucking great. Oh my God. Ugh. Rhaenyra, I don't know, burning people from Syrax's back. If she's ever done that, which I'll be honest, like I didn't even look it up. I can't remember, but I don't think she's ever actually killed a person. Maybe she did like some self-defense things, but she's never actively like just killed a person right in front of her. And even if she has burned people from Syrax's back, again, sorry, can't remember. This is what happens when it's 2 years between seasons and I don't have time to rewatch every single episode. It's not the same as you personally being the person who chops off someone's head, especially someone you've known your entire life, her father's closest advisor, really a friend of Viserys for a long time, whether or not it was all legitimate or real in terms of like friendship on Otto's part anyway. Like, even if Rhaenyra grew to hate him because of his conniving bullshit, it's not the same. And I really felt for her in that moment where she was like, I just don't think I can do it. Honestly, I was surprised that the show had her be the one.
Well, I mean, Damon was right. Like, you had to do it.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Now, honestly, looking at it just from the outside looking in, it should have been Allison. She should have taken Allison's head as opposed to anyone else, right? She's the one who kind of started all this shit. Even if Otto fed it to her, she's the one who made the decision and was like, oh no, this is gonna be the fucking, that's who it should have fucking been. But I guess Otto, we don't really need him anymore anyway, and he's talked a lot of shit, so it was time to take his head off.
I would argue that really it's the person that she was screaming for, that Rhaenyra was screaming for, was Aegon. And it should have been...
Correct.
It should have been Aegon whose head she was taking. He is usurper, but...
Yeah, he is the usurper, but Allison is the one who pushed it. Allison was the one who was like, oh yeah, I mean, she's really the catalyst with that. So to me, yes, it should have been Aemon's head, Allison's head, and Otto's head. And I'm sure that they would have got the other ones with a cleaner strike because, you know, she's warmed up at this point and it's like, okay, I can take their heads clean off.
Yeah. She's warmed up.
Like, she took the first, like, okay, I got this now. I got this. No problem. It just, you know, you got to throw a ball a few times to like get warm. You're like, oh yeah, now I got it now. We're good. We're good.
Oh yeah. Yeah. He didn't suffer too much. It was one bad swing and then she got his head clean off the second time. So listen, it was no Ned, where I honestly can't remember in the show if they had to hack at him as much as they did in the books, but in the books they have to hack at Ned's head, I think. Ugh. Like, it doesn't come clean off. Hot take number 7. The road to the throne is quite literally smeared with blood. But who the fuck cares? Because we finally get our queen on the throne.
Yes.
Seriously, for real though, Rhaenyra walking through Otto's blood on her way to the throne and just tracking it with her. And then that shot of her sitting, I'm getting chills just saying this right now. That shot of her sitting on the throne reflected in his puddle of blood. Just chef's fucking kiss, man. Mwah. Chef's fucking kiss.
Beautifully filmed. Beautifully filmed.
Yeah, such a great shot. And however, them bringing Allison in to see her father beheaded on the ground and that look she and Rhaenyra share, but also like Rhaenyra is on the throne and she is like snot and like tears covering her face. she kind of struggled to get up there, not physically. Mm-hmm. She's not physically unable like her father kind of was at the end. She is struggling because she's just, what she just had to do was huge with Otto and everything. And also the amount of time, I mean, it's been years that she's been waiting to sit on this throne that she rightfully inherited by her father's word, et cetera, et cetera. Oh, it was honestly, again, it just chef's fucking kiss. It was so good. Mm-hmm. It was so good. And seeing her on that throne, so good.
It was beautiful because honestly, in the grand scheme of things, we didn't have to wait that long to see it happen. So I was very happy about that. I thought that would have been something that would have happened in the next season and not in this one. So it was fucking great.
Later in this season, maybe, but certainly not the second episode.
Yeah. And the angle they used watching her walk through Otto's blood and stuff was just fantastic. It was very much a buildup. The only thing I can think of when she sat on that throne was, girl, watch your hands on the edge of that seat, because you're going to catch that thing your daddy had, you know, and then your face is going to be falling off, you know. You better sanitize that thing, throw some alcohol, throw Robitussin on it, because that seat is diseased. Okay.
Yeah. to say the least.
I'd have been on there like, okay, I don't want to touch the sides just in case, but yes, I'm the queen.
I'll be honest, I expected her to get cut. I did. So
yeah.
It was very interesting to see that she didn't.
And you know, after watching that scene, I went back and watched old like reels and stuff from season one. God damn, I miss Viserys so much, dude.
Yeah.
Fantastic actor, fantastic presence. And I'm like, God, man, he was so fucking good, dude. I miss him so much, dude.
And at least we got like a little bit with him last season in Daemon's wandering around Luigi's mansion. But we're not going to get that this season. I don't think. And it's sad to know he's almost certainly gone forever. I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. Aemon is at Harrenhal.
I know. Let's see. All kinds of things happen in Luigi's mansion. So let's see what happens.
All right. I think it might be time for our favorites roundup. I'm going to start with two things that I really wanted to point out, and then I'll let you take it for a bit because I think we probably have some similar ones. Only things I care about are the first two things I wanted to say, which, A, the new additions to the opening titles. Holy shit. The tapestry threads making the water in the opening. Also, yes, Jace cries, but like when the tapestry threads like make the water and it like waved across the screen, I was like, holy shit, that looks so good. That was so good. I'm getting chills just talking about it. So go you, House of the Dragon. You made me had chills reliving something I watched four times at this point. Also, holy shit, that opening underwater shot, the fire that you're seeing through like the water and then the dragon flying over. It was so fucking cinematic. So perfect. I just fucking loved it. 10 out of 10 Targ eyebrows. I don't even know. It was a perfect opening shot.
It was. It was good. Yeah. No, that was a fantastic shot. Very cinematic. Great opener for it. Some of my favorites was Corlys giving his kid his name, which it's like, okay, I guess that's what it took. I don't care, man. Like I'll give any kid my fucking name if they want to hang out with me. Like I'm just like, yeah, sure, buddy. Like, whatever. You want my name? Here you go, man. Part of House Roman now. But no, it was great. And you have this on here, so I don't want to steal your thunder here. But the fucking Windy Boy, finally, some good fucking dragon.
I have a couple things about dragons on here. First of all, the Windy Boy drinking out of the lake. And he just, I don't know how you are. Okay, but with my cats, I love watching them drink water.
Oh, I do.
I know. It's so silly, but like, I love watching them like, nap, 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 nap.
Blep, blep, blep.
And I know the Windy Boy was obviously not like that because he's like, with his chin in, like gulping it, whatever, but it's still somehow. Every time I see a dragon do something cat-like, I'm like, oh.
And that's what I love about those kinds of scenes with the dragons, because they just remind you of pets. Like, oh, you can't forget for a second that they're just house cats. Okay, that's all it is. They're just really big house cats.
Very dangerous, fire breathing.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sheep Stealer is like my dragon. I'm like, oh no, that's it. Because that's exactly how my cat is. Fucking chaos. My cat was like, oh, fucking nice. Look at how nice I am. And then all of a sudden is swatting at the other cats. Doesn't want to get touched. Swatting at you now all of a sudden. When Sheep Stealer came out, I was like, oh no. Girl, me and you are the same. We were riding the same dragon. Okay? The same thing. So yeah, Sheep Stealer is mine because I love the chaos. I'm always.
But I mean, yeah, like the Windy Boy, and then when we see him flying, King's Landing, and he's just so floppy back legs, windy little neck.
Little windy little neck. It's like, yeah, damn, I mean, that's some good neck.
So many dragons. This episode was so many dragons, so dragon heavy. I loved it.
Dragon heavy.
I loved it. Great. I'm not saying that we need to see dragons all the time, right? But when we do, I'm going to call it out because I love it.
It's fucking great. And this is one of those things where it's, we all know all of these don't survive. So enjoy it now while you have a chance.
And like you said, also the Corleys, like, Alan, I have nothing to give you now but my name. Like, it's a little like, aw, he has no fleet. Driftmark has been burned. Finally giving him his name. And Alan is like, that's all I've ever wanted. And it's like, aw, something bad is going to happen here, I guarantee you. But for right
guaranteed.
Now, it's cute.
Guaranteed. Yeah. Guaranteed. But it's like, come on, dude. You should have given him, you know, your fucking name like a while ago. I don't know. I'm a parent, so I'm a little fucking edgy about that, you know, where I'm like, bro, don't be a bitch. Give him your fucking name, dude.
Well, like Bela said, he was trying to please his wife, mm-hmm. who he loved so much, understandably so, and also just stubborn and everything. Mm-hmm. But now he ain't got nothing to be stubborn about, I guess.
Nope.
Alice River is straight up telling Damon that she wants hair, and Hall was interesting. I have to wonder what she really expected out of that conversation. Like, girl, I know that you've done things for him and everything, but does he really even have that power? I don't think so.
I don't think so. Yeah, I don't think he would be able to.
And also, I mean, maybe Rhaenyra would be like, okay, not necessarily, like, she might be okay with ceding it to like a woman, but Alice Rivers is a Rivers, which means she's a bastard, which means, mm-hmm. like, and also like Damon, that she's not married. It's like, listen, fucking give her hair and all, honestly, give mm-hmm. it to her. But at the same time, that was a very interesting turn. And Alice had already said to Damon in the second season, once you leave here, you really can't come back. It'll be the death of you. So it wasn't like she was threatening him anew, but she certainly wasn't happy about it. But also, I'm sorry, like, girl, what did you expect?
Me personally, I'd have been like, oh, you want hair and keep it. Whatever, dude. Just don't invite me over for dinner or mm-hmm. for anything like that. If you want to come hang out, you come to Queen's Landing and you're more than welcome to hang out. But I am not going to Heron Hall. I don't like backwoods areas. I'm not dealing with that. I don't like mold. I don't like rain when I'm trying to sleep. You know, like, I just don't like that. I don't like ghosts. I don't like chasing ghosts. I don't like ghosts talking to me. That's fine. Don't fight against us. And I'll put some battalion or something out there so nobody fucks with you. But I don't want them going in the house either.
Yeah.
You know, they got to stay outside. You just stay in your weird goth castle, but just don't invite me over for dinner. Sure. Just have it. Go. Just go. Take it. You know?
I also kind of loved, and this was almost a hot take, but I could not figure out how to fit it in. And we also had a little footer and Baby Gone hot take last week. So I was like, we're going to go a little different this week. But I kind of loved everything about the little footer and Baby Gone scene. Like, mm-hmm. Larry's being like, oh, you seem to be in less pain. You no longer ask for milk of the poppy. And Baby Gone is like, because I'm not fucking speaking to you. It's so childish, and I loved it. And then they get attacked, good. And Aegon is like, what's up? And Larys is like, I shouldn't be surprised if it's, you know, he cuts off, opens the door, it's a triarchy pirate. I was mistaken. I am surprised. That was funny. Like, that was good.
That was good.
I do wonder who Larys thought it might be, honestly. I don't think we'll ever find out, but I do.
Probably not.
I am curious. And then Larys just like bops one of their captors over the head with a raven cage. Bam. Okay. But he still can't control Baby Gone, who wants to go to Rook's Rest, obviously, to look for Sunfire.
Yeah.
Even though now Larry's is the one who's whining about how it's too far. So now Larry's is the whiner, and Baby Gone's like, nope, we're going. Fuck you. It was a lot. The whole thing with them being captive did not last at all. I really didn't expect that to conclude so quickly. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. But everything about that scene was fucking hilarious. I don't know if I want to call it like buddy cop thing, because they're not buddies and they're not anything like cops. Maybe it's like dude, where's my dragon?
It was slightly more lighthearted than we would have expected it mm-hmm. to be. Unintentionally lighthearted, to where it was like, oh, it is kind of funny. you know?
Yeah, I don't ever care really that much about Littlefooter or Baby Gone, but I will give it a 8 out of 10 Targ eyebrows for the general hilarity of it, honestly. Did you have any other favorite moments?
I think of right now, that was it. I mean, there was so many in this episode. It really was hard to like, even Aemon going to Harrenhal, you know, when you're like from a bad city and then like, you never want to go back there again, but then you happen to go back there and there's like these little nuggets of like, oh yeah, I remember that place. Yeah. I walked down those streets one time. That's how it kind of felt with like Aemon showing up where you're like, oh yeah, cool. Yeah. That's where the bowling alley was. I remember I went to the bowling alley a few times. I only got shot twice. It's cool. It was like one of those feelings where it's not, this is a great remembrance of this. I remember walking these halls for fucking 5 episodes or anything like that. It was just kind of like, ugh. Yeah, but I mean, yeah, I remember it. It's cool. So even with that, I felt like at least what they did with that, I thought it was good that they just didn't focus on it too much. I felt like the pacing on this was, I still couldn't decide if the pacing was too much or like just right.
I actually thought it was better than the first episode.
Certainly better than the first episode. First episode had one pace. That was it. Full throttle. You know?
Well, the first episode had like nothing, and then full throttle. I'm not hating on it or whatever. Obviously, we talked about it last week. We liked it a lot. But this episode, I actually felt like the pacing on this episode was like really good. It didn't feel like they were jumping around too much. Even though they did jump around quite a bit, especially like the first half, 2/3 or so. I did like Daemon whispering his dream/vision of Daenerys into Rhaenyra's ear. That was very... I don't even know. Like, I don't want to say that was very cute because that wasn't what it was. It was very meaningful. And even though this isn't something that is in the books at all, I was like, oh, okay. We saw him have that last season. It was interesting to me. I think that he told it to her. And I also, I liked Rhaenyra and Daemon like coming together again.
Nice
and like
to see that,
being on the same page, right? Like them, oh my God, them marching through the Red Keep together. Fucking badass. Badass. Yep. Like every shot, even when Rhaenyra was just kind of standing back and he was just cutting people down, I was like, yes.
It was fucking good.
Also, I loved when the Master of Laws, I cannot remember his nickname is Iron Rod in the books, when his head got fucking lopped off, especially after what he did to Allison or tried to do to Allison. I was pissed as fuck about that scene. Like, honestly, 0 out of 10 Targ eyebrows for them even inserting that into this. It did not need to happen. I hated it so much. I was like, what the fuck is happening here? Thank God the Maester kind of busted in and actually took Allison's side, even though Iron Rod was like, oh, she's a traitor, blah, blah, blah. What the fuck? That did not need to be there. That didn't need to happen. It just did not. It felt very Game of Thrones, and I say that in a bad way.
Yes, this is one of those things, and that's what I was talking about the locker room scene. It's to where I feel like someone is slipping somewhere, and they're trying to make it more like Game of Thrones. And I'm just like, this was two things in just one episode that bothered me. It was just as much as the fucking villager getting raped in the first episode of this season. And nothing happened with it. Nothing, you know, and I'm just kind of like, all right, guys.
At least
we
didn't have to see it on screen.
At least we didn't have to see it on screen, but we certainly had to hear it. And to me, I was like, all right, guys, this is not, like, I understand it's like Game of Thrones and you got to do whatever, right? You got to do the whole thing. But to me, that was the old Game of Thrones show. What I felt was so great about House of the Dragon was that the fact that they imply these things, but they don't really need to go into it. Two of my favorite things from that first season, right, was obviously the crab feeder. They didn't have to show that fight scene. It was implied. You already knew what fucking happened. The second one was with the child fighting ring. You didn't have to see children fight each other, but they implied it. And your brain finished the pattern on that and figured, oh, okay, this is what's fucking going on. And that is smart writing. And now with this one, in this episode alone, there was two things in it. See, because in the first episode, there was that one thing with that village girl that I was like, okay, I don't like that. And then in this and especially with the Allison thing, I was like, guys, come on. Like, let's not go down this fucking road. What are we going to be looking at in season 4? Is it just going to be straight up Game of Thrones? Because then, make no mistake, as much as I love this show, season 4 will be me taking a shit on it in every single fucking episode about those things, because those things will overshadow the good things that I like about this fucking show. So my message to the writers is, dude, don't do it. Don't go down that path. You don't have to do that. Was that even in the books? Was that scene in the books?
No. No.
Okay, see, like, don't do shit like that. If it's not in the original fucking text and all this shit, like, why are you adding that in there? Why does that have to be in there?
It was completely unnecessary, other than the fact that it was what sent him to the dungeons.
But it could have been anything. He could have tried to hit her. He could have tried to do something or just been weird. You know what? It didn't even have to go that far.
Right,
again,
exactly.
It could have been implied that that's what he was trying to do, and then the maester shows up, but not that. And to me, I'm like, look, dude, I don't want to go to bed because obviously these shows are at 9 o'clock, right? I'm going to go to bed a little bit afterwards. I don't want to be thinking about that shit when I'm fucking going to bed. Again, be smart fucking writers. Don't do the Game of Thrones thing, right? Because with Game of Thrones, those guys, it was like shock jock, right? We just got to like shock them with all this crazy shit. But it's like, now you're doing this. It's like, look, dude, there's nothing to lose sleep over with dragons burning fucking people because that shit doesn't happen in reality. But when you have shit like this, it's like, dude, I guarantee you, you're fucking it up for somebody and you're guaranteed fucking it up for me right now. And it's like, don't do that. And that's what I hated about that first episode when they did it with that fucking villager girl. And I'm like, you guys already got me uneasy now. And then it was fucking Sir Cole of fucking Aslaw over there doing nothing about it. And it's like, oh, okay, here we go. This is just perfect commentary for what happens in the real world. And it's like, this is a story about dragons. I don't want to think about those kind of things. I'm trying to escape reality here. And then with this one too, it's like, again, poor writing.
It's just, it felt so out of the blue and completely unnecessary. And I know we're supposed to be talking about like favorite things. So like, again, just got to say like, ha ha ha, fuck him. He got his head lopped. Like, he's like, tell my wife. And Damon's like, ha. And Damon Damon doesn't even know what he did or tried to do to Alicent. But like, just, that whole scene, did not need to be the way it was, and I hated it so much. And it was like, for an episode, I think without that scene, I would have given this episode 10 out of 10 target
easily. Yep, those two things is what fucked it up. Yep.
And I think that with that scene, I'm more on like a 7.5 out of 10 target eyebrows, because that's how much it takes out of me to have to watch that shit. It's unnecessary.
I am right there with you. 7 out of 10. And it would have been a 9 out of 10 or 10 out of 10 easily. But doing that, you guys fucked it up for me. Because in the end, that's the shit that's going to be ringing in my head through all this. That's what your show is going to be remembered for with me. Because that's what I didn't like about Game of Thrones. When they had shit like that, I was like, dude, there were so many cool things. There were so many great actors. Why did you focus on stupid shit like this? Seriously, you focused on stupid shit because what? Because you guys are just a bunch of fucking, like, I don't know, man, fucking incel rapists or something. This is your fantasy or something? Like, I don't understand. Like, I'm not trying to be a dick. Well, you know, dude.
You're not being a dick because also, again, unnecessary. I wish I could say, like, writers take note, but they're not going to listen to us. And also, all of the rest of the season has already been filmed. I just don't want to see that shit. At least in the first episode, we didn't have to witness what happened to the villager girl. It's still awful. And I wish it hadn't happened. But at the same time, okay, fine. It kind of furthered Coleslaw's descent into being just like that rotten coleslaw that's been, you know, like you make it for the 4th of July party and it's been sitting out in the hot sun all day. And at the end of the day, because it's mostly mayonnaise, it's like, you better not eat that shit.
Yeah, but I feel like this could have been a redeeming quality for him that could have made him a bad person, but at least like a semi-noble bad person. That's why I brought up that shit with like Castro, right? When that shit happened. Because I was like, yeah, one of his soldiers raped a fucking villager girl. You know what he did? He went up to the girl's father and said, here's a gun. Here's the guy at the tree. Go ahead. This guy did your family wrong. You're going to fucking do it. And the guy didn't want to do it. I think they asked the girl at first and the girl didn't want to do it. The father didn't want to do it. Said, I want to murder. He's like, okay, you know what? No problem. So he got one of his soldiers to fucking do it. Yeah. There was vengeance regardless. And it's like, nope. It's like, we don't do that shit. You're trying to win the people and that's what you're going to fucking do? No, I'm sorry. So as much as I fucking hate that asshole, at least there was a sense of like, oh yeah. And I think with Cole, he could have actually won points with me, even though I fucking hate him and he's a big fucking piece of garbage. Yeah, incel.
Noble
fucking incel, quote unquote, right?
Noble incel.
I fucking hate him. But if he would have done something about it, at least I could have said, okay, at least there is a part of you, a small sliver of you that is actually human.
So I guess we got to give props to Maester Orweil for him showing up was by chance, I guess. Maybe he heard her yelling, but also he took care of that shit. Snap, snap, snaps. He was like, arrest him. Snap, snap, snaps for Maester immediately. Orweil right there.
And again, Damon, not waiting for excuses, not waiting for talking or anything, took his head right off. This is always why I'm always going to be right there at Damon's side, where it's like, you know what, dude? Yup, there you go. This is exactly why I follow you into battle. Fuck them, because that's why, you know?
All right. So last but not least, what are Maester Manny's predictions for episode 3?
Okay, so this is my prediction. There is going to be some weirdness because Allison has to fucking answer for what she did. She has to. Amongst the people, she has to. But Rhaenyra is not going to want to. So now you have a problem. She either does the queen's duty of, you know, if these are the usurpers, we fucking take her head or do this shit. Rhaenyra is close with Allison. Allison helped her to get back on the throne. But the people are probably going to want a little more, especially since they had suffered. They went through like no food. They went through all this stuff. They're going to want justice. And she is not going to dish out justice, which is going to put her reign at risk. Is that gonna happen? I don't know. Maybe that's something that's more of a I want to see as opposed to is actually going to happen. And my other prediction is that Aemon is going to stay in Harrenhal forever and we're never going to see him again. He's gone.
That's the thing you want to happen, because
that's what I want.
You don't ever want to see Harrenhal again.
Yeah, maybe this is Maester Manny's wants predictions. Yeah. Than anything else.
Maester Manny doesn't ever want to see Harrenhal again.
No, Harrenhal and Luigi's Mansion needs to fall into a black hole along with Aemon. All right. As simple as that. But again, hats off to the actor who plays Aemon. He's fantastic. You know, he carries the role so well. Yes, he looks a little older than he probably should have, but he's still a fantastic actor. Anyone who I've talked crap about, even Sir Cole, the actor is fantastic. He made me hate him. That is good acting chops, is what it is.
All right. As we close out the episode, we just want to thank you, our listeners, for joining us for Hot D Takes. Manny and I will, of course, again, barring any major eye issues with me, I'm still struggling, guys, still struggling. Be back next week to cover season 3, episode 3. For the most current news and updates about this series, make sure to follow at A Geek Saga on Blue Sky Facebook, Instagram, Threads, and or YouTube. And also, please consider backing our Patreon at patreon.com/geeksaga_entertainment.